Might we look to the Lord in prayer this morning. Such a wonderful Savior that we have. All that He has done for us. We must thank Him and love Him. Our Father, we thank Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, the one whom Thou didst send into this sinful world, Thine only begotten Son, that He might go to Calvary's cross and redeem us by His death there and the shedding of His precious blood. How can we help but love Him as we were singing when He loved me so? Coming into this world of sin and woe and taking upon Himself our sin, bearing it away that we might have everlasting life. We thank Thee, blessed Lord, that we can come together and sing and express ourselves in Thy presence. We thank Thee for a day in which Thou hast made again a day that we can rejoice in these things and be glad in them. We thank Thee for this day of salvation, this day in which Thou art not willing that any should perish, but that all might be saved and come to know Thee. So we thank Thee for the gospel as it goes forth this day throughout this entire world. We know there are many of Thy true servants serving Thee in every place, proclaiming Thy word, and many groups like this that are gathered unto Thy name. We thank Thee that Thou hast said in this great world, this mixed up world that we have, yet where only two or three are gathered together in Thy name, that Thou art in our midst. And what a joy this is to know that Thou art even here in our midst. Unseen by the Spirit, Thou art here, dwelling in us and with us, blessed Lord. And we do thank Thee that we can look upon Thee in thought and in song and in praise. We thank Thee that Thy Holy Spirit has come to take of things of Thyself and reveal them unto us. That's why we need Thy Word, Thy Holy Word, the Bible, to read about Thee, blessed Lord, and all Thy love to us. And the things that we are thinking about and singing about are made real to us by Thy Spirit. So we thank Thee this morning that we have this great privilege of thus gathering here to hear Thy word proclaimed. We just pray that we may have open ears and open hearts to receive the message that comes to us. We pray for the one who will speak to us concerning these things, speak out of Thy word. And we just thank Thee now that we are thus gathered here. We think of some we've already contacted that are not feeling well this morning and are not able to come out with us here this morning, as usual. We just commend them to Thee and pray that Thou would bless them in their weakened condition, perhaps, or in their physical need, whatever it may be, that they may too rejoice even where they are, calling upon Thy name, blessed Lord, asking for help and for blessing at this time. We thank Thee then, as we further look to Thee and praise Thee, blessed Lord, for it's in Thine own precious and peerless name that we give Thee our thanks at this time. Amen. Let us sing now, "In My Heart There Rings a Melody," 943. We want Ida to play, and we better do that now so that we don't run over. Ida, you were going to play for us?
I'll try.
When the roll is called up yonder, I believe.
I don't know.
All right.
I don't play much anymore.
Let's see, what number is that? Who has that number? It's torn out of my book here. What number? 202. Okay, we can sing along, Ida. 202. And the roll is called up yonder, and that's a good thought this morning to start our Bible. Bible reading, when the roll is called up yonder, you know, we want to be there, don't we? And we can be there by being one of the Lord's own, one of His redeemed ones. All right, Ida. You know, make your mouth go if you can't do anything else. Huh? The Lord loves to hear us sing. He puts a song in our hearts sometimes, doesn't He? Even praise unto our God. I'm going to read now in John chapter 14. That's where we ended. And the Lord willing, we're going to go right straight through this gospel. John chapter 14, now beginning at verse 7. And I'm going to read verse 7 to 14 inclusive. Here it is. If ye had known me, says Jesus, if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it'll satisfy us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and you... Yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, and the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in my Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, last time, my subject was the Father's house, and the Lord Jesus talked about the Father's house. Sometimes in the Bible, heaven is spoken of as a house, and I love to think of heaven being as a house, where there is family relationship. And we're in the family of God. And the Lord Jesus says to his own, ye are in the family of God, and we're going back home one of these days to the Father's house. But he said it'll be a little time before we go back to the Father's house. I'm going to let you down here, and I want you to be my witnesses down here till I come for you to go back to the Father's house. And so what we have in these verses this morning is the Father being manifested in the Son, the Father being known. And we ought to be able to call God our own dear Father while Jesus is up in heaven. And I wonder this morning, when each one of us prays, or if we had prayed even before we come to this meeting, we ought to, if we could say that God is our Father, that He has been manifested to us through His Son. And that is one of the big reasons why Jesus came into the world, to manifest, to tell out, to show the Father. And you will find in these verses seven distinct things in connection with us knowing God as our Father. And the first one that I want to bring before you is right here in verse 7. Jesus said, if you had known me, ye should have known my Father also. So, here you have, it's perfectly true that God can be known in creation. Even the heathen in darkest Africa can know God in creation, but he doesn't know God as his Father. And that's why it's so necessary for us to preach the gospel. I want to just show you, and I'll read to you, how that even the heathen knows God as creator. Some people in the United States don't know God as creator. You don't get to know him by education or refinement or culture. No, you don't get to know God as Father that way, and you don't get to know God that way. We get to know God in creation. And so this is what we read in Romans chapter 1. The invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Now the invisible things of God are clearly seen from the creation, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that the heathen is without excuse. When the heathen, I don't care where you go, and he looks up into heaven, and he sees the moon and the stars and the sun, why, he has to say, not maybe not in the words of the Bible, but the heavens declare, manifest the glory of God, and they expanse his handiwork. I wish you could have seen what I saw this morning going down to Shippensburg, somewhere between 6 and 7 o'clock. I wished you could have seen that big strong man, the sun coming up out of the mountain, as it were, shining that big around all over us. And the Bible says there isn't a place in the universe where his warmth isn't felt. Isn't that wonderful? Do you think it just flew up there in the sky somehow? No. It had to have a creator, and even the heathen knows that much. Sometimes I say the heathen knows more than we people in the United States. It's that we people in the United States, and I've heard them say it right to my face, that there just happened out there. You know what a man said to me this morning? Well, I'm going to just throw up some steel clippings up in the air and see if it comes down a typewriter. Now, that's what some of these people try to say, that there was little pieces thrown up there, and they got together, and it made this great, big, strong man, the bridegroom, ready to run a race, and looking and longing for his bride, and just some little pieces of nothing was flew up there, and this all happened. Do you believe that? I don't believe there's one here that believes that. But I'll tell you, there's people. And there are people in high places in the world, in the United States, that believe that poppycock. But all we say, the heavens declare the glory of God, the expanse is handiwork. And even when I think of my body, and then I think how those hands with that little bit of that skin on there has lasted me for 76 years, I say, how did it all happen? Why, it's God. God. God created us. And I love to think that he breathed into my nostrils the breath of life, and I became a living soul. But to know God is our Father, the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus is alone the one who manifested and revealed unto us God is our Father. Someone has said, and they brought this question out, will God condemn the heathen because they don't know God as Father? Will God condemn them? And I say, no, but he might condemn you and I for not going and telling them about God as our Father through the Lord Jesus. I think we are in a more responsible position to God than the heathen. And that's why we come here, to try to show that God is our own dear Father through the Lord Jesus. And that's one of the big reasons why he came to this world and took part in flesh and blood. So, you see, this is the first thought, then in verse 7. If you know me, you know God is your own dear Father. And sometimes I like to say to people, do you know the Lord? Do you know the Lord Jesus? And then I love to say, I see some heads shaking. Then I love to hear them say, and I know the Father also. Oh my, isn't it wonderful to say, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. But you can only know him as your own dear Father through God's dear Son, who purchased your salvation on Calvary's tree. Well, now let's look something else in verse, I'm going to get down here to verse 9. And here is something else. We see that Christ is the exact expression of the Father. Not partial, but he's the exact expression of the Father. And what does verse 9 say to Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou, Philip, show us the Father? If you've seen me, you have seen the Father. And he is the exact expression of the Father. And the better you know Christ, the better you know the Father. And you say to me, well, how can I know Christ better? Well, just like we're doing this morning. What are we doing this morning? We're reading in the Gospel of John, aren't we? And you read in the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you get to know Jesus better. And the better you know Jesus, the better you know God as your own dear Father. Because he came to reveal the Father, and he's the exact expression of the Father. Now we'll go down into verse 10, and there you see the unity of the Father and the Son. The unity of the Father and the Son. They are one, and yet one without the other is not God. Some people say, and they believe in the universal fatherhood of God, and they say he's the Father of us all. Bless your soul, he is not, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And to actually realize the unity of the Father and the Son, you must know the Son, or you don't know the Father. And I love to think of this. Jesus is not God apart from the Father and the Son. The three are one, and one and three. Now, I can't explain that, but the Bible says so. But I have often spoken to young people, those who are real young, and I have said, the only illustration that I know how to give is to take water. And I have seen water in steam. On our cook stove, I've seen the tea kettle, you know, bounce on the stove because of the heat, you know, in the stove, and it would bounce like this, and out of the spout would come what? Steam. And what is that steam if it's condensed? Water, isn't it? Huh? And then sometimes I go to the ice cube, the refrigerator, and I thank God for a refrigerator, and I'll get an ice cube out of there. And when that is melted down, what is it?
Ice.
Well, it becomes water, doesn't it? After it's melted. And so, you see, with water, you can have it in three phases, and yet it's all water. And out of that water can be made steam, and so on. But now that might not be a perfect illustration, but I'll hold fast to the truth. There's three in one and one in three, and there's a perfect unity. And then I want to go down in verse 11. And in verse 11, just notice what it says in verse 11. If you believe in me, believe in me for the very work's sake. Believe that I have revealed that I am in the Father and the Father in me for the very works that I have done. If you don't want to believe in me through my revelation of the Father, through the Word, I want you to believe in me so that you will know the Father by the works that I have done. And oh, when you think of the works of the Lord Jesus, nobody could touch a leper without being contaminated. And a poor leper, he had to have something hanging down over his face, and he had to walk around hollering, unclean, 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 because nobody was to touch that leper. But oh, the Lord Jesus, he could put his loving hands that was going to be pierced with nails someday upon that poor leper, and say to the leper, be thou clean. And you know that the leper would be cleansed. He touched the leper. And oh, I love to sing, don't you sometimes? He touched me. He touched me. And oh, the glory that filled my soul. He touched me. He touched me. And you see, isn't that a wonderful work? That's one of the works that he did. And do you know that of any man that could go out on a stormy day on the sea, and the wind was blowing and the waves were high and the ship was racing way up in the air and down into the depths, and those that was on the ship was despairing of life. And he could say in a quiet way at a time like that, peace, be still. And the winds would stop and the waves would cease raging. And he could have peace. And oh, how he has made peace in our stormy lives. And even now when we go through trial and tribulation and trouble, we rest in that peace that he has made for us. Oh, he's did wonderful works. So believe that he is in the Father and the Father is in him for his very works. Sake. But now we'll go a little further on. There's another wonderful promise, and it's down in verse 12. And look at this, a wonderful promise. Now these are the promises, now remember, these are the promises to us while he's up in heaven, up in the Father's house preparing a place for us. Here's another promise. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do, and greater works than these shall ye do, because I go to my Father. Now, a lot of people say this is a promise that he made that nobody has ever fulfilled. Whoever did any greater works than the Lord Jesus? Well, remember, this is the main subject before him, to declare the Father to others, to make the Father known, so that you might have a place in the Father's house in heaven. And lo and behold, 50 days after the Lord Jesus went to heaven, do you know what Peter and the rest of the disciples did? Peter and the rest of the disciples stood up, and the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus and told the multitudes about him, and how many were saved? How many got to know God as their Father?
3,000.
3,000. And just a short time afterwards, he preached again to a multitude, and how many got to know God as their Father? 5,000. That's 8,000. And you know, when the Lord Jesus, before he went back to heaven, the most disciples that he ever had was 500. He spoke and revealed himself to 500 at one time. But here's Peter and the rest of the disciples, and they did greater works than the Lord Jesus did the 3.5 years he was down here. Now, it's because he went up in heaven, and it's because he sent the Holy Spirit down, and it was because the Holy Spirit was in Peter and the disciples, but they did greater works than he did. And do you know what happens when one turns to the Lord Jesus and believes the gospel when I preach? Do you know what happens? There's joy in heaven in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repents, because they get to know God as their own dear Father. And they're able to say in family relationship, "My Father, which art in heaven." Oh, these are wonderful truths. And this is what we are to be engaged in now. Now, I only got a couple minutes yet, and I want to look at the 13th verse. Here is another promise. "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do." We'll stop right there. "Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do." Now, you might say, and I've heard people say, "Well, I have asked him for things in his name and I didn't get it." But if you actually ask in his name, you ask in the authority of what he is. His name speaks of authority, and his name speaks of the will of God. He never did anything outside of the will of God. And you and I must know the will of God, and we must know the Lord Jesus personally as the one who is in authority. All power is given unto him in heaven and in earth. Do you think he's in the place of authority? I do. And when we ask according to his will, he answers our prayer. And that's why we say, don't we? "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And oh, isn't it a blessed thing? I often tell this, and it happens right here close. Sometimes I'll get in my car to visit somebody that's sick right here in the Chambersburg Hospital. And there's cars parked everywhere. You can't find a parking place. And you know what I'll say as I go down by the home here a little further down? I'll say, "Oh, Lord, I'm on a mission of mercy this morning. And Ida or Bill or so on is in the hospital. Will you give me a parking place that I can read the Word of God and pray with them?" And believe it or not, I'll drive the car right up there on close to hospital, and somebody will pull out. Isn't it true? Isn't it true? Oh, I'd love to hear you say this. And I can't rejoice enough to know that he hears my prayers. But tell me why there's times that I do this that I don't ask him. And then I have to run around in confusion and find a place maybe a way off. Oh, let us be simple and childlike. God loves little children, and he's saying to you and I, just be little children. And he would take little children up in his arms and bless them. And he likes to take you and I up in his arms and bless us and answer our prayers. More things are brought about in this world, brought about by prayer, than this world dreams of. Well, I'm going to stop now in a minute. That's right. Yes. And he healed them all. That's right. right back in the city.
Yeah.
They were healed.
Yes, sir.
And, but the bad part about it, there was only one returned person.
Well,
that, well, in one place it says that one of them come back and thanked him for it. Yeah. Now, you and I ought to thank him, aren't we?
That's right.
We ought to thank him. Well, now there's just one more point, and then I'm going to close. And that's the last part of the 13th verse. That the Father might be glorified in the Son. That's why all of these things are true. That's why he answers our prayers, that the Father might be glorified in his Son. And oh, that was the main thrust of the Lord Jesus, to glorify his Father down here. And you know, we'll find it a little later on. He's looking up into heaven, and he's talking to his Father, and he says, Father, I've glorified thee here in the earth. I've finished the things that thou hast given me to do. And do you know that when we declare Christ to others, and they get to know the Father, we are glorifying the Father down here. Isn't this wonderful? Oh, I just rejoice in it, and I love to share it with you. I'm going to close in prayer. It's time to quit. Our God and our Father, we thank thee for this meeting. We thank thee for the music. We thank thee for the songs on our hearts and the prayers and being able to help one another to come to the meeting and then to be able to help to take each one back to their room and their resting place. And we know, our God, that even a cup of cold water given in the name of thy dear Son is precious in thy sight. So we thank thee for the simplicity of our meeting this morning. And we commit each one to thee. And we're thinking right now of Violet, who wasn't able to get out, and others this morning. God bless them in their beds, and give healing to their bodies, and above all that their souls might rejoice in thee, God our Savior, as we pray and give thanks in his name. Amen. Yes. Now we're going to sing, I think we always do, one verse, don't we, Richard?
Yeah, 217.
217. And let's all try to sing. Okay.
Only trust him. Let's start with verse 2. We'll sing two verses, okay? Verse 2 and verse 4. Two verses of 217. Only trust him. All together? Jesus Christ. He died, he did it all, and
and he can save us, and he will save us, but we have to come and only trust him. What a blessed thing it is, and how simple. The meeting is now over, and we trust to see you all again, Lord willing.